Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. The escape to Egypt. After the wise men had gone, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, hurry and take the child and his mother to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is looking for the child and wants to kill him." That night Joseph got up and took his wife and the child to Egypt, where they stayed until Herod died. So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, "I called my son out of Egypt." We don't hear this story very often, do we? We skip from the Magi straight into the baptism of Jesus. This is unexpected. It shakes up our thinking a bit when we hear that the Holy Family just didn't get to go home. After all, they had done what God had asked of them so far, hadn't they? But it's not God that creates this emergency. It's not God who makes it unsafe for them to go home. It is humanity who put the Son of God at risk. It is a leader who clings to power, no matter what the cost is to others. It is a leader who relies on fear and violence to control others. God warns them. God says, "It's time to move again." God asks them to hear the unexpected, to change their plans, to do something that may have seemed a bit dramatic. They could have said no. They could have said, "Do we have to go that far?" But they didn't. What we need to remember is that they were living in precarious times. Those who were ruling the land only valued their own people. If you weren't valued, you were dispensable. If you didn't follow what Herod wanted, even if it was wrong, you were at risk. There were other places in the world who had not yet experienced the brutality of the Roman Empire, but this was the reality of Mary and Joseph. There are places in the world today who live with such fear, with such violence. To protect themselves, families travel from one country to another simply to be safe. I wonder about the kind of courage it takes to walk away from the familiar, no matter how unsafe it is, to place your life in the hands of strangers. How would Jesus' story have changed if Egypt had said no? If hospitality had not been offered to a family fleeing terrorists disguised as leaders? Do we hear God's messengers moving us into unfamiliar places? Are we supposed to be the hospitality at the end of someone else's journey? When God asks us to trust and live out our faith, do we say yes? Is the choice to do nothing an easier way for us to say no? Matthew 2, verses 16 to 18. When Herod found out that the wise men from the east had tricked him, he was very angry. He gave orders for his men to kill all the boys who lived in or near Bethlehem and were 2 years old and younger. This was based on what he had learned from the wise men. So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet Jeremiah had said. In Ramah, a voice was heard crying and weeping loudly. Rachel was mourning for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were dead. This is the hardest part of the story. Innocents are killed because of someone else's need for power. And we know it's happened before. This story mirrors the experience of the slaves taken out of Egypt by Moses. Pharaoh and Herod misuse their power and position, and babies die. Families are torn apart. Misery is created because of selfishness and self-centeredness. Jen Dresser, a diaconal minister, said, "Jesus and his family were lucky enough to be warned by God, or maybe they just understood the politics of what was to come. What about all the families with children that didn't have the ability to flee to another country? I imagine the horror of those days as people waited in fear for violence to occur and yet were helpless to prevent it. This story makes me think about the millions of refugees around the world right now who are looking for places of safety. People who are fleeing violence, just like Jesus and his family. We watch this happen from the relative safety of our homes and community. We don't know that they were the only family that God warned. Maybe others heard the message but didn't believe it because they didn't hear or heed the warnings. Disaster struck. But there were others who could have prevented this. Soldiers could have refused to kill babies. Friends and neighbors could possibly have provided shelter and safety. It might have meant that they may have become victims, but at least it would have been because they did something, not just stood back and watched. The city of Ramah was north of Bethlehem and probably didn't experience the killing of the innocents. But the prophecy of Jeremiah mirrored another story, that of Rachel weeping for the loss of her children. What happened in Bethlehem, even though it was in another place, affected the people of Ramah and beyond. What happens in one corner of the world today affects places and people all around the world. We cannot stand by and watch as the lives of vulnerable people are used to keep others comfortable. Did Egypt learn from its experiences? In the Moses story, it created the violence. In Jesus' story, it became a shelter from it. Are we the world neighbors who offer shelter from violence? Or are we standing back and watching because our safety is more important? Matthew 2, verses 19 to 23. After King Herod died, an angel from the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph while he was still in Egypt. The angel said, "Get up and take the child and his mother back to Israel. The people who wanted to kill him are now dead." Joseph got up and left with them for Israel. But when he heard that Herod's son, Archelaus, was now ruler of Judea, he was afraid to go there. Then in a dream he was told to go to Galilee, and they went there to live there in the town of Nazareth. And so the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, "He will be called a Nazarene." When Herod died, the area that he had governed was split between his three sons, Philip, Lysanias, and Archelaus. Archelaus received the areas of Judea, Samaria, and Idumea. By all accounts, Archelaus was more violent than his father had been. Can you imagine going back home to worse? The ruler may have changed, but the violence and instability and danger remained. Listening to God's messages carefully again, having lived in a foreign country as a refugee for a few years, Joseph and Mary set off for a new home that wasn't home. There they found shelter. There they found a place that they could create a good life in. Jen Dresser said, "Progressive Christianity holds as central that we need the core values of Christianity to be everywhere. Love, compassion, peace, justice, hope, joy. Christianity has a history of not being able to see these values outside of itself. But progressive Christianity asserts that these values transcend religious bounds. We might be on different paths, but we seek the same things. A sense of oneness with ourselves, the Creator, the Earth. We seek love, compassion, peace, justice, hope, and joy." It can't be just words. These are our core values. This is what we must live. God's messengers challenge us every day to offer hospitality, to give something to the world to make it a safer place. We are not to be those people who create hatred because it keeps us safe. We are not to be those people who value their own comfort over the lives of others. This small story that gets missed every year holds so much that we need to hear in today's world. Mary and Joseph teach us to listen to God, to be ready to move out of our plans into God's plans and know that God is looking after us. The story of Herod is a warning of how self-interest and self-preservation makes victims of the vulnerable. The stories of Egypt remind us that we can and should learn from history. We should not repeat mistakes of the past. As we listen and see the world today, we need to ask ourselves, what have we learned? What can we do better? As followers of the way of the grown Jesus and our loving God, it is our responsibility to stand up for those in danger, to offer hospitality to those who are not safe in their own homes, to be the voices of peace in a world that has forgotten how to be good to all of its people. Hear this story. Listen for God. How is God opening your head and your heart through these words today? Thanks be to God.